let's just talk about Eric Young and Samoa Joe. Let's talk about that.
You know me. And I know you. You're Samoa Joe. A wrecking machine. The baddest man in the land. The NXT champion. Here's another thing I know for sure. The only thing in life that's guaranteed is change. Things changed for you, Joe, and now they're gonna change for me.
You don't even belong in the same ring as me. And the next time you do, I'm gonna beat your ass.
Okay.
Talk about that?
Who do you think's fatter, Eric Young or Samoa Joe? I'm so excited about using that Rick Ross remix, by the way.
Well, isn't that why don't we just play some of it? You know, I mean, the people on the video are not going to hear this, but this is a gangsta rap rendition of a Ric Flair open talking about how ballin' this guy is.
This is one of the best tracks ever.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding,
you're jet about flying, that life.
Son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding down the
limousine. Ain't about that life, ain't about that life, you're about that life.
Well, I'm sorry. If you're watching this on YouTube, we are not allowed to use this track for protection copyright reasons.
They're not going to allow that, nor should they. You know, because
that's all.
Copyright's a crazy thing. You know, they'll kill you over a copyright.
Well, you know, if we do use the track, we're going to have to pay them whatever penance royalties that we get from people watching the show.
Oh, come on. What do you want, Rick Ross? The best thing about the track is Rick Ross cuts a wrestling promo at the very end.
Oh, he does. You know,
a cappella.
Well, I tell you, if you're interested in listening to this, Stephen, what's the name of the track and who's the artist?
It's called About That Life. But get the Rick Ross remix because he does the intros better. It has a delay on it. Well,
I might actually just literally 5 seconds of this and just slap it on YouTube just real quick. That way, no one gets caught. No one gets
that's
caught.
Up to YouTube. Don't get us in trouble. Don't get us. What is it? Pinged.
Pinged. Oh, I get pinged a lot. Pro Wrestling Cast, weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary. Al John and, of course, Stephen Anthony joining you. And really quick, before we get into the show, don't forget, check out Pro Wrestling Cast on Twitter and Facebook. And you can also check out our entire catalog of shows over the past year plus. They're at prowrestlingcast.com. And there you can also shop because we know you love us. We know you do because you listen to us every single week. You talk about us on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, YouTube. Whatever, we do appreciate it. Be sure to shop as well because Steven needs a new cool mat for his laptop, and I use that as well for our broadcast, right?
I am using one.
Yeah, our laptops get really hot.
That's
so what you want
to
do. What you want to do is click on our Amazon link and support our show. Every single time you go and shop Amazon, you might as well just go ahead and support our show. It's like throwing a little tip, bing, bing, little cha-ching in our tip jar, and that makes sure that you help us improve our show and the different gear and things we need to keep the show for free every single week. Also in there, we've got links to WWE Shop. We have links to WWE Network. Now, why would you want to even use those links? Because not only will you support our show, but once again, you get to save $5 on orders of $35. There's 20% off discounts that happen randomly. 50% buy one, get one free. And instead of going to the venue and paying exorbitant amount for your wrestling t-shirts, like Steven and I, we're getting ready to go to NXT with all of our wrestling buddies. We want to make sure you get the gear. I don't know if you're going to get the Finn Balor Club t-shirt, Steven, or if you're going to get the NXT t-shirt for me. I don't know.
I'm going to get the Face Fuck Me Finn shirt. I'm going to get the shirt that says Face Fuck Me Finn.
We're live on Sensor.
Do they print that or is that a sign?
I think that's a sign. Oh,
that is a sign.
That is a sign. You could go ahead and get that through WWE Shop. Not that particular shirt with that particular saying or phrase, because that is not PG era friendly.
But I sell that shirt, so you can buy it from me at my house.
There you go. Great. He'll finger paint it for you. He'll silk screen it for you. And the other thing you can do is, last but not least, High Spots. We talk about videos, wrestling videos, ring gear, all kinds of cool stuff. Our friends at High Spots have you covered. Indie wrestling shows and shoot videos that we love to promote and talk about on here as well. So go ahead and do that. All of it at ProWrestlingCast.com. Now, on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
So, do you like the new name for Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson?
Oh my goodness, no! Really, I think I texted you. Did you text me first, or did I text you during Raw?
I think I texted you and I said, "These weak motherfuckers named it the club."
It's like the club.
It's like, do y'all have fucking meetings in a treehouse? What are you talking about? It's not a good club. It's not a bad club. It's just the club.
It's the club.
Oh, okay. The club. Great. You guys are really weak these days, man. That's what you come up with? Man.
Creative's got nothing for you.
I don't know what to say about that one, you know? I don't know what to say about calling them boys the club. And then they've already done... Ugh.
I was thinking that, you know, Gallows and Anderson would be behind AJ Styles and AJ would take the mic and go, this is the future of professional wrestling. This is the new wrestling order of professional wrestling, and just rehash the NWO.
Right.
Black and white again. NWO for life.
Here's the thing about
might as well.
Well, I mean, some people do that still. And you know, the click was on the table of three and they're totally cool with them doing the four life and the you know, they know what it is. They're, you know, paying homage to how fucking
when was the click on table
it
for three?
Just came out, bro.
Oh
just
gosh,
because I just last night, bro.
Because I was watching the WWE Network. I saw NXT last night. I also saw Camp WWE, which is getting a little bit better. Okay. The second episode was better, but then I was also watching Ride Along, and what else did I watch on network? I saw the table for three with
Patterson
Patterson Dragon.
That one's good.
And who else was on? Who else?
Hillbilly Jim. Well, I'm friends with Hillbilly Jim's friend. I'm friends with Beautiful Bruce.
Oh, there
really,
you go.
A really cool '70s NWA wrestler, and he's friends with Hillbilly Jim.
Well, here's my question: At the end of it, is it me or at the end of every Table for Three, I just want another 30 minutes of Table for Three?
They are really short, and they seem like they crunch up the edits too much. But I want to see an hour. I think an hour is what we're probably used to. Our show's usually an hour or an hour and 30 minutes. But,
like an hour long show. Those shows just seem to be like 22 minutes long, it seems.
That one is 23 minutes. That's exactly right. The click one was 30 minutes. You know, I'm a numbers guy. So that was a little better, but you know,
goodness. I just thought that it was way, way, way short. And I seem to think that they were doing the specials a little bit longer. Like Edge and Christian show, I think is like a 22 minute show. Also, it's like, you know, if they were to add commercials, it would be 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Really weird.
Yeah.
But I did like, just weird.
I did like, I like the short content, and maybe what they've done is they're doing research as to how much time people actually spend watching those particular original programs. Not that I'm against it. I mean, give me more of it. Give me at least more consistency when new programs come out. I do like the fact that every week, you know, for a while we were getting new episodes of Legends House, couldn't get enough of it. Every week we're getting new episodes of Table for Three or Countdown or, right, you know, all these other shows, you know, Too Hot for TV, which was okay too.
The first one was good with the Mean Gene stuff. That was really funny.
But I,
you know, Edge, a bad motherfucker.
Edge, well, he's hardcore. He is king of hardcore. If you go drink it with Mean Gene, I did shake Mean Gene's hand at C2E2. He was really, really nice guy, but you know, note to Mean Gene, note to everyone who takes who does these wrestling shows, please, people, get Square so you can use credit cards, so when people want to buy merch you can just swipe, just like Mick Foley. He was amazing because I went there and I said, Mick, tell me you have Square. He goes, oh, I got it right here.
Mean Gene's old ass ain't gonna know how to use that. Mean Gene's older than dirt.
He's got people with him.
Mean Gene's got people with him to try to take $20 here and $20 there.
You know what I should have done? The guy in front of me asked Mick, he was videotaping, and asked him to do voicemail, his voicemail. And I really should have done it. I said, Mick, I'm going to give you 10 extra bucks. Do you mind doing this? I just should have.
Right.
You know, and, you know, just for him, because, I mean, his stuff was great. If you ever get a chance to see Mick Foley at a WrestleCon, do it, because he'll spend time with you. He'll talk to you. He'll post for pictures. He'll do video. He'll do all kinds of stuff. And he likes to send his fans home happy. I mean, I got his autograph picture, and I got his, you know, a picture for Instagram for like 20 bucks. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And he was really nice. But anyway, I digress. We have got a huge show lined up.
I digress.
Of course, I'm Al John Goh, lifelong wrestling fan, radio guy, joined by my good pal, my buddy, old pal, the man who is the wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. Oh my goodness, and my alarm is going off.
It's time to go to sleep.
It's time to go home.
I wake up to that fucking noise at 7 in the morning, man. That sucks to hear. I'm like, oh, shit.
It's the go home. It's the go home cue, as Steve Austin says on his podcast. And then now we have to wrap the show up. Thank you so much for listening to Wrestling Cast, and we're done.
And we love you.
This week in wrestling news.
Last week on the show was almost, I don't know how many times we do this on the show, because we tend to do the show close or near the weekend. We're doing it now. We're recording this on a Thursday night. And I feel like last week when we recorded it on a Thursday night or Wednesday night, whenever it was, and we put it up on Friday.
Thursday.
Like the whole roof. The whole wrestling world got once again thrown off balance, off kilter, because what did I say? I said, well, I don't know why, but we haven't heard from the WWE in regards to releases. And what do you know?
Right.
You texted me like first thing in the morning. You said, wow, the bloodletting, as you say, has begun.
Right, right. And we were talking about
and everybody had to go.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, who really deserved to stay out of the group, you know, is really what jumps to mind. I mean, nobody wants to see someone lose their job, you know, but I mean, nobody on that list really shocked me. Well, I'm talking about the first initial list. I think the most talented person One of the most talented people they let go, and nobody's talking about it, is Zeb Coulter, who's an incredibly talented wrestling mind as Dirty Dutch Mantel. Now, look, he's a local guy, so maybe that's why I'm throwing that out there. But this guy's got a wrestling mind. He's got a pedigree. He got saddled with a dumb gimmick. I get it, you know. So let's see. Who else is on there?
Hornswoggle.
Yeah, and he's got a really good interview up right now with Jericho, I think. I didn't hear much of it.
Okay.
Yeah. What's his
name? It was a little short?
Huh?
I said, was the podcast a little short?
I'm not. That's disrespectful.
No, it's not. It's just funny. He would laugh at it, I think.
He has a really funny... the interview started off funny. He was in a, talking about Tommy Dreamer had called him, and how he got his job. And, he seems like a really down-to-earth guy. He's talking about great colleagues. So, haven't seen him on the show much. Mm-hmm. So, that's usually a sign. Alex Riley's gone. Alex Riley's last match is against Nakamura, and it's like the best fucking Alex Riley match I've ever seen.
He was doing great.
That was a pretty strong style little match. Like I said, if you're a white boy who wants to go strong style with Nakamura, he'll take you just as far as you give him. Like, that's why he's so awesome. Like, Zack Sabre went a little bit, so he went that way. AJ went a little further than that, he went there. Alex wanted to go here, he went there. The Drifter didn't want to do shit, so he didn't do any. Nakamura is cool like that, but Alex showed me a lot in that match, and I hope he catches on with somebody, because his last match was really great, and he put him over solid. He took the what do they call the Bomai now? The Kinshasa or something?
Yeah, the Kinshasa.
He took it great. Yeah, Bomai. It looked really good, and I was impressed with that. Okay, so who else is fired? The other little person is gone as well, isn't he?
Yeah, El Torito's gone. Wade Barrett, of course. We saw that coming.
Well, I hope Barrett gets a great opportunity somewhere. He's going to, if I were him, I'd take a year off, and then maybe I don't know what I would do if I were him, but he would actually do really well in Japan or Mexico. Just saying,
Yeah, I believe that as well. Maybe Triple A needs a big star for sure.
Triple A, man. I heard we'll have to talk about them a little bit later, because I heard Conan finally spilled the beans on what happened with him at Triple A, but I digress. Oh, that's more Corey Bauer's podcast than our own. Who else is fired?
Okay, so Arian Andrew, aka Cameron from the Funkadactyls.
Everybody's like, "Oh, I'm glad she's gone." Why the fuck are you so happy someone's fired? What's wrong with people?
Well, the thing is that I think she had been she took herself off Total Divas to concentrate on her wrestling training at NXT. She came up for a brief period, and then she's back down again, and she had been off TV. She had been doing a lot of different campaigning, trying to use her celebrity for good. I thought she was really good on Total Divas. She was a funny personality on Total Divas. Her and her boyfriend / fiance Vinny, they were hilarious. And I think she's a kid with a good head on her shoulders. I think Steve Austin interviewed her on his podcast at one point. And of course, she was also on Tough Enough as well.
The one that said that Alicia Fox had the best match she ever saw
with Melina. Alicia Fox and Melina. I think that makes for an awesome pro wrestling tease. If you ever go over there, it's like match of the century: Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Hey, but look, this is what I know that others don't, right? Because I got the inside scoop. I remember that fucking match. That match was awesome. It was completely stiff, almost to the point where Alicia Fox was almost taking liberties with that girl. And she's right. That match is awesome. It's not the best match ever, but I mean, she was just trying to answer a question. She's like, "Oh, it's fucking Alicia Fox match. It's actually pretty good." So at least she named a fucking women's match where they were doing, But
well, she came along. She came along.
Yeah. It was a good opportunity to fuck with her on the show, though.
Go ahead. For some reason, folks, Steven's internet feed is clipping. So if you happen to hear this, the thing about our show is Steven and I are not broadcasting from the same place.
Yes, we are. To us. We're in the same house. We live in the same house. What are you talking about? Me and Terry and you and Chris, we all live in the same house because we're a band.
We are a band. We're an American band. Okay, so we talked about Damian Sandow. So that was also, I think the worst part about the releases is Damian Sandow.
Yes, and they'll never let him come back and be a big star. So everybody get that idea out their head.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
You don't think, as you said Damon Sandow, Ring of Honor World Champion.
Ring of Honor World Champion.
Japan World Champion. And then, like, after a couple of years, have him come back. You don't think?
He ain't going to be the new Japan World Champion. Let's hold up, dog. Where are you going with this, dog?
I know he's not, but.
I mean, AJ Styles is the best white boy wrestler in the world. All right. So New Japan's like, cool. We'll give you the IWGP belt and, you know, a little bit of money if you come over. I get that. But Sandow doesn't have that level of talent. Now, Ring of Honor, sure, he does. You know, Ring of Honor is very much helped by their association with New Japan, which we'll talk about later, I hope. But I think Damian Sandow, if he was in Ring of Honor, should be their world champion. You know, I just think that's a natural thing. That's just popped into my head a couple of weeks ago. And Father had hinted at the idea that maybe he was going to be departing.
Father. Dave Meltzer.
He very cryptically brought it up. I mean, so cryptic, I had to, like, get a freaking hieroglyphics translator. But, you know, that's Dave. You know, Dave's gotten my – Dave gets as much money from me a year as the WWE does. So let's just remember that. Who else is fired?
Well, we have two announcers that are gone. Kyle Edwards, who had been doing backstage announcing this week in WWE history, as well as an interviewer and main event announcer. Kyle Edwards is gone. And then Rich Brennan as well.
And I know you're happy to hear that because you hate Rich Brennan. You told me yourself.
No, I don't hate Rich Brennan. I don't hate any of them. I don't. I don't know where you get these ideas, Stephen.
No, I'm just kidding. But you did bury him on the show, and now they fired him. So what do you think that can mean? I don't know.
They listen to the show, and I'm sorry, Rich. It's not, no, look, I don't have any ill will to those guys. I don't hate any of those guys. I don't.
The only ones that really blow me away announcer-wise are Corey Graves and Renee. So as long as they're straight, that's cool. If you want to employ JBL and Booker T for the rest of your life, go ahead. You know, you have a long history of doing stuff like that with ex-wrestlers that are fresh off the retirement. I get it. But, you know, again.
So no Mauro Ranallo for you? You're not a big Mauro Ranallo fan?
Not when... I almost tweeted at Mauro the other day because I do think Mauro is awesome, but although he's not the future to me, you know, I don't like to get on bandwagons on the internet, but I do think he's very talented and he has New Japan pedigree and, you know, and other things that I like. But he tweeted out, "The club is for real" on his hashtag. And I was about to be you motherfucker. You sat there calling the motherfucking Bullet Club and now you're going to say some asinine shit like that? You are a fucking tool.
I think he said that. I think he tweeted that as a smile and a wink, you know, that, you know, it's for real, as in, like, it's like legitimately wink, wink, like they couldn't think of anything better.
I hope so, Mauro, because I mean, Jesus, I mean, you know, let's all go to my treehouse and we'll vote on a leader.
Okay, so you are looking at, you mentioned the club. We're going to get back to that in just a little bit.
I can't wait.
I think that we had been talking about, you know, talent being let go. Prophetically, you know, we tell the future here on the show, for better or for worse. It's so funny how that happened. And we're talking about, we did it all for you, Damien. We did it for you. And of course, what happens, Damien gets let go and a little
horn
smuggles. Yeah, dives off the top of the Titantron. Yeah,
but for Satan, I remember.
There was a big signing, if you will, of WWE talent because Triple H re-signs with a huge contract. Huge. I mean, huge.
Well, you know,
making millions of dollars.
Well, he's you know, if I were him, I'd take a low salary just to confuse everybody. But, you know, he's got I can't believe how much power this guy ended up with. You know, okay, I used to watch this guy in 98. Now he signed a contract saying I'm God, you know, basically.
Well, just to give you an idea, he has earned with an incentive plan compensation of, $526,000, nearly doubling last year's bonus of $283,140.
Right, but it's that's in stock point. It's in stock points that he's got. That's really that's that big money grip stuff he's got going on. Is that stock?
Well,
that's what your girl cashed out. Your girl cashed him out, his wife, to get that house. See, but they got it, man. They got it.
Well, here's the thing. So, his my understanding is that he has a six-figure base salary right now of $606,375.
Sure.
And his earnings overall as a so his fixed compensation from last year was about $573,000 plus some change, and his talent last year was $1,713,000 plus as talent with a $526,000 bonus. With a total pay earnings in 2015, this is Triple H now, $2.8 million, over $2.8 million,
and that'd be more than anybody. Ridiculous. But Cena, that'd be more than anybody except for Cena, who I know is in the $5 million club from year to year. I don't know if he'll do that this year. He's been out for a while, but he makes a lot of money. I'm just saying 2.8 is kind of like chump change in the grand spectrum of what this guy really has and will have. I mean, he controls the world with this shit. And they're starting to show signs that you know, the old man doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we're all getting on the bandwagon. We're watching NXT, you know, and we're like, this guy needs to be in control. You know what I'm saying? So $2.6 million is a nice year for John Cena, but it's just pennies for Mr. H.
Yeah. Well, understand that, you know, what they pay talent. And they do. I believe they do offer really good salaries to talent. You know, all things considered, you know, how much that you and I, the working class man, do, right?
Yeah, but so, I don't have to pay for a hotel room. I don't have to be next to, you know, Luke Gallows when he's using the bathroom. You know, there's a lot of things that go with that, you know?
Oh, of course. You know, and you know, all things considered, you know, that's kind of how you work in this industry, you know?
Yeah.
I
mean, I've heard 200,000.
You know, so, kind of and, you know, and I travel quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand what that's like to work as a, you know, to work in a... Steven?
We're at a standstill. Here we are. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
You were asking me about Bob Holly.
Oh. Ooh, things are dropping out.
I know. That was a joke, but can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Bob Holly's move, the Alabama Slam, is actually kind of derived from Bobby Eaton's old move, the Alabama Jam, you know, in a lot of ways. It's just not a top rope maneuver like Bobby Eaton's. And that's why the Midnight Express are so over.
That's outstanding.
I honestly forgot what we were talking about.
We're just talking about Triple H
travels. What I was saying is Randy Orton once said you have to make like $200,000 to like kind of just break even, you know. And I would think like a guy like AJ Styles. I was talking about this with somebody on the internet today that I think like, you know, I think AJ probably makes $350,000 base salary. I'm just guessing. But I'm thinking about New Japan. I'm thinking about TNA when they were offering those $200,000 contracts briefly. So to me, AJ Styles, if he cuts all expenses, he can bring home $200,000 a year of that. And then he has to wrestle 3 years. So maybe he can stash away $500,000, but he has three kids. And then he's going to be 41. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a tough life, man. You got to make that big money, man. And you can't spend it like about that life, Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? Ric Flair is about that life. You know, that's what that song's about.
Right.
Right. And Ric Flair is. And that's why a guy like AJ can possibly make it. That's why it's sad for someone like Cameron, because I don't know where she's going to make it. But, you know, the independents are maybe more suited for some of these guys, you know. So maybe it's not such a bad thing. But they definitely wanted to get rid of a lot of people just to kind of, you know, have more money for all these new people. But, you know, as far as Triple H, does he deserve that much money? If he were just a talent, maybe so, because he is a big match player and he's a draw. So they kind of do it fairly. You know, Vince does the same thing. He gets like $800,000, or he used to. He'd get like an $800,000 performance bonus. It's like, oh, do you really need that? You own the damn company.
Well, the guy makes over $500,000 just as an executive plus bonuses, and then, you know, his 1.7 and change million as talent. You know, hey, you know, he's on air, on TV, doing things, you know. So yeah, I mean, that's great. Let's face it, we watch the network a lot because of NXT. I mean, I don't know of a single person that subscribes to the WWE network that does not watch NXT.
Yeah, but I initially, just so you know, because there's not a lot of us, I initially subscribed to watch old shit. I didn't even care about NXT too much. Now, it became a Wednesday night routine that I can't be. I love coming Wednesday night and watching it. That's my favorite show of the week. And then I like to watch New Japan's big matches. And then I like to watch WWE's pay-per-views. Those are my favorite things to watch. But NXT is my favorite weekly episodic whatever show. Longest running.
Well, you know, the thing too to note is I too did not necessarily subscribe to the network to see NXT. I grew to like it. I grew to like the show. I wanted, just like you, I wanted to see the backlog of pay-per-views. I wanted to see every new pay-per-view that came along. And I was intrigued by shows like Legends House because I like shoot videos. I like the old school wrestlers. I like to hear more of their stories. And to get that Legends, old school Legends of Wrestling panels and things like that, that kind of content is kind of what I really wanted to see. I wanted to see more shoot videos.
Right.
Now we're kind of in that point where we're getting some of that. Sit-down interviews and the like, which, by the way, we didn't bring up at our last show that we're getting a Mick Foley sit-down interview with Shane McMahon, like, what, this week?
Yeah, well, that's because Steve Austin is apparently pretty hurt from his WrestleMania appearance. I can't believe that.
Yeah, he had a torn rotator cuff surgery, something like that.
Well, he knew his rotator cuff was bad, and then he tore it, like, the minute he freaking walked in the ring. But, you know, good on him for doing it. But I think, you know, it's going to be a pretty tough rehab. You know, and unlike Ric Flair, I'm sure he has some shows in the can that he can, you know, play. But, you know, I'm actually interested to see Mick Foley do an interview. I think that might be really, really interesting. But just remember, guys, the WWE controls everything that comes out of their system. That's what makes them really awesome and bad. It makes them awesome because you need someone that can can have the anthology of wrestling, as it were. It's not what is it? Chronologicalize? You know what I'm trying to say. They can make an anthology of things, you know, and have everything and say, hey, we got Smoky Mountain. Here we got Mid-South. But at the same time, they control what people really say. So, you know, when you go to High Spots or RF Video, that's when you get the silly wrestlers, you know, that can talk about it, which is cool, by the way, because now we can get the shoot interview with fucking Cameron. Now we get the shoot interview with mad as fucking hell Alex Riley. You know, that's
cool. I cannot wait.
Talk about Christian getting let go. He had a wrestler's contract. Are you kidding
me? That's what I don't understand. I mean,
I don't know.
I thought that he may have had a contract and he got, you know, so may have gotten paid as a downside guarantee.
Right.
I think they
let him go because of concussions. Now, look, this is what people need to get, you know, because I know there's rumors. It's like, well, what if Daniel Bryan went to Japan? He's wrapped up. He can't get out of a contract. They're paying him even though he's concussed. He's going to get paid for years, and they won't let him out of his contract because they don't want him to go anywhere. So maybe Christian has something like that going on. I'll have to ask Father.
I think that's exactly what's going on because Christian never went out on a limb and had a retirement. He just kind of quietly faded. The first time I ever heard anything about Christian, because I was like, when is Christian coming back? When is Christian coming back? Was that promo that when Edge and Christian came back to Raw, late last year,
when Paul Heyman
comes out and says, yeah, when they did the angle and says, aren't you retired?
Right.
Like, and then I was like, what? You know, right. Like Christian's officially retired. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What? Because I thought he always had that one more match. I thought that he had been concussed or he was also recovering from a rotator cuff situation as well, you know, and then come to find out, I think he even mentioned it very briefly. I think if you didn't hear, I think he was on Jericho's podcast a couple of years back and mentioned his injury. And, you know, I think he alluded to the fact that he's not an active wrestler anymore, but I didn't know he was full on retired until the Heyman came out and said it. And the no sell reaction on his face was like, yeah, I'm retired. So what? You know?
Yeah.
And like, well, everybody, I think kind of everybody kind of was like, you're retired? You've never had a retirement thing. So.
Well, he's a real injury-prone cat, and he scared them. And he was really stiff in the ring, too. Those are a lot of things people don't talk about, but he hurt a lot of people. Not like, oh, I broke my arm because of this idiot, or Goldberg hurting Bret Hart. But he was real snug, and he had gotten some really severe concussions. And, you know, he was just an aggressive worker. I don't think it came through on TV as much as, you know, some guys do, or like Kawada or something. But you know, I'd always heard that he scared them a little bit with his intensity towards the end. They thought, like, if he has another concussion, we're going to have to, you know, let it. I think that's kind of why he got that day-long little title run with Del Rio which was kind of, you know, based around Edge's retirement. That was like his last hurrah. So they gave him his little title run. That shows you how much wrestling's changed. Like, this guy won't be here much longer. Let's give him the title. Like, they would have never done that in 78. You know, they would have had a board meeting.
You know? Having said that, the fact that they did give him that last title run was really meaningful, because we didn't know it, but he did. He knew this was his last run. And I thought that, you know, it was really poignant at that point, because we didn't know. We didn't know. And now we can look back on it on the WWE Network and see that one more match. I think that was his feud with Randy Orton, was it not?
Yeah, I mean, was it Orton? It wasn't Del Rio then.
Maybe it's Del Rio. He took maybe.
You know, Edge, he took, I could be wrong, because I'll be honest, guys, paying attention to WWE is not something I do. I just pay attention to the backstage stuff, but because that's interesting more so. But I'm pretty sure they were having a feud. They were having a ladder match build. Edge retired out of the blue after he went over clean at the WrestleMania. Right. Christian more or less took his spot in the angle. I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
Really care about Christian or Del Rio much. So, I like Del Rio and AAA. I like Del Rio and Lucha Underground. There's just something about Del Rio and WWE. I don't know.
They snake bit him.
That poor guy.
Let's not even talk about it, because, you know, Del Rio for me could have been like the number one heels in the company if he hadn't been destroyed after his first return. That's the fault of WWE creative, really. I mean, that does upset me, because, you know, you have a guy with all that fire, all that great intensity.
He slapped that dude, great. You know, all that cool shit he did.
Yeah. I think that Christian being let go was a little bit, I mean, it was a shocker, because we didn't even know he had a contract.
But that just shows you how long they tie you in. You know, like Rey Mysterio had a contract for years until he got out of it, which I bet he, you know, he regrets he did that. He's barely appearing for AAA. He's doing like maybe one or two shows this year. He's on Lucha Underground season two, obviously, and I think he filmed some for three. But, you know, Ray doesn't do much. And you know, when you're under their umbrella, though, man, they got control, and that is scary. At the same time, they put on a good product, as in so much as, like, if you do like a best of AWA DVD, it'll be pretty good product. You know, so in your historical endeavors, like, you know, what are all the great matches Daniel Bryan had in WWE? Like, they'll put together a good package like that. So it's good to be in their good graces in a lot of ways, you know? So it's a strange company, and they make tons of mistakes. But there's no doubt about one thing, Al John. The network is awesome. That's just the way it is. I can say anything I want about booking, but the network is put together awesome. It's totally awesome, and it's never not been awesome.
Right. And I just hope they continue on that trend of continuing to provide us with more classic wrestling content and new original programming. And let's keep it going, guys. The Table for Three, hey, that's great. More sit-down interviews, yes. More legendary interviews and roundtables, yes. Low cost but highly entertaining things that hardcore wrestling fans want to see. And that is the core audience. That is who is subscribing to the network. No matter how many times you want to appeal to those fans that are, as they say, casual wrestling fans, in order to get them hooked to check out a pay-per-view, which in and of itself is a tremendous value. Okay, we understand that. That's wonderful. But to keep them coming back, do more personality wrestling driven interviews like that. You know, Road Trip is great for those casual fans, you know, that want to see that. Total Divas, just keep on adding that. That's fine. You know, those casual fans are going to eat that up. But hardcore wrestling fans, which I believe is the core audience who you have subscribed worldwide, they want more insight to wrestling and commentary as well. Very easily done.
Let's see where that 1.5 million subscribers drops to when they have the very crucial investors call, which is in early July, late June. If that drops to 1.3 again, guess what, guys? That means they haven't made any progress in 1 year, and that stock's going to zip down.
Yeah, well, you know, the summer is a very dangerous time for people, and I bring this up all the time, Steven. Is there too much wrestling on TV? There are alternate ways that people watch Raw and SmackDown. week to week.
Right.
And the fact that you can get caught up watching This Week in Wrestling, watching WWE Superstars, watching, you know, 1.5 hour edited version on Hulu or whatever you're doing.
Well, hell,
you
know, this is even watching the highlights. This is wrestling is raw. You just have to, that's raw. It's right there. It's just edited down so it doesn't bore you to death.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that you have the WWE app, and a lot of the highlights are already included as YouTube videos on the app.
I figured this out one day. You take all the videos from the app. It's a 30-minute thing, right? When you add it all up, the times. Mm-hmm. The show would be perfect. It was 30 minutes, and that's actually the perfect show. 30 minutes of the app stuff put together on YouTube is about, you know, but obviously it's fun to watch Raw and da 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 da. But man, the ratings are hitting low levels that they were during football season already. And this is my prediction, and I'm no damn genius either. They're going to dip below 3 million viewers for football season on a consistent basis. And then one day, everybody remember this, because I'm prescient. They're going to say Raw did 1.9 last night.
Oh, no.
And everybody's going to go, oh, fuck. 1.9 is the Nielsen rating, not as the number, you know, like, meaning like, you know, 202.7 million. And it's going to be like a 1.9. And that's when they probably should panic.
Well, look, I don't think it'll ever fall to that level because.
Yep, it will. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
Let's make a bet. For $55,000, winner take all. Okay. I'm kidding. All right. But let's make a gentleman's bet.
A gentleman's bet. It'll be your Telecaster against my Les Paul.
No, we're not fucking doing that either. I'm not giving you shit.
I would take it.
Stay away from my stuff.
That's all you need is another guitar in your life, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks. I'll put it in the closet with the other ones. But my point is that I want to bet you. I think they will hit 1.9. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen like right around the time the New Orleans Saints are eliminated from playoff contention. That's the approximate. Now, if that actually happens,
all right,
I want 55 grand in that Les Paul.
We shall see. The Global Force Wrestling, really quickly.
Oh, good. This is the Global Force news section.
This is okay, because we talked about leading from all of those talent releases to Global Force and Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling, scooping up all the talent they can possibly get for upcoming shows. They have a show in Keyport, New Jersey. And it looks like Booker T is going to be joining Jeff Jarrett, Colt Cabana, Sanjay Dutt, Brian Myers, Bull James, Bullfit, who was also let go from NXT earlier this year, is going to be taking on Damian Sandow on June 11th. How about that?
Bullfit against Sandow? Yeah.
No. Well, Bullfit is going to be on the card.
With Sandow. Okay.
With Sandow. But Sandow is going to be taking on Colt Cabana on the June 11th GFW show.
That sounds awesome, actually. I'll watch. Mm-hmm. I'd like to watch that. But, you know, they don't have a TV deal. You know, that's their problem. And I don't see how they're ever going to get anywhere, man. I got to be honest. I thought they would have gotten somewhere by now. And like you just said, Mr. Go, there's too much damn wrestling on during the week. And I don't think they're going to get a TV deal. The only thing they could have really done is bought TNA and changed it to GFW and been on when Pop was. That, which is kind of what Aero Lux and all those other guys are probably trying to do. That's the only reason TNA wanted to get sold. They want the TV contract. They don't want TNA. I mean, who would want that? We want Crazy Steve?
No.
Crazy Steve's contract?
Well, there are a lot of independent wrestling shows out there that are being brought to you on the JR app, the Fight app.
Yeah.
Which I think that Hollywood Wrestling is on. Like a bunch of different independent wrestling shows are being put on there and being streamed. And look, there's so many ways for you to get free, awesome independent wrestling, no matter where it is. YouTube, Fight app. I mean, you know, on Roku. I mean, you can get so much independent wrestling. It's ridiculous.
You should see on my WWN network, which I usually watch the RF video shoots on. They got everything on there. CZW, Shimmer, everything's on there, you know. But yeah, on the Fight
app. It's all there. It's all for you, Damien. It's all for you, Damien Sandow. At Double Force. Not really.
It's not all for you. No, it's not. I just, you know, you brought up the the Fight App thing that made me think of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view that just passed, which is, I thought, very interesting. Do you mind me shifting gears from GFW?
Or yeah, go ahead.
Unless there are more GFW signees that we need to see, that's the thing about him.
Are we referring to Global Wars that happened a few days back?
That's right.
Oh, there you go. Let's talk about it. You know, Mr. Jay Lethal's promotion. Let's talk about it. Well, Jay Lethal made an interesting appearance on WWE Network on the Edge and Christian show.
That was really nice of them to do that, actually.
How about that?
That was really nice of them to do that because Jay, I don't want to say it.
Don't say it then.
Jay's in a racist business, you know, and he's gotten really far, but he should have gone further. I'll just say that, you know, he should have gotten further, like, you know, AJ has gotten and some of these other cats.
Yeah, I think Jay Lethal is tremendous. And by the way, if you do happen to catch, while you can, the Ric Flair Rue Nation podcast with Jay Lethal that happened last month, you'll get to hear Jay Lethal do the impersonations of a lifetime because his Ric Flair is so good. To do it in front of Ric Flair was amazing. And Jay Lethal is highly, highly talented, very articulate, one of the best TV champions Ring of Honor has ever had and best champion, world champions I've ever had because he is that good. He's just a really entertaining guy.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
a great okay. worker.
Okay, so like, so you can cut a promo, you can work heel or baby face, and you can wrestle. So what's the problem? You know, and TNA didn't even offer him a contract. You know, that's their problem. That's not mine. Jay Lethal, main event, Colt Cabana, Chicago, hometown boy. And what do we get? A non-finish. Oh my God, the IWC's up in arms. Will you people shut up? Do you understand that it's more interesting to have a gigantic angle, a global angle, like global force, but actually global, an angle that spans from Japan to Chicago, than for you to see some dumb fucking finish because you want a clean finish? I honest, Al John, these people are starting to irritate me. You know, now that I do this podcast, I see they're more in my periphery. You know, they're in my general area, you know, and it makes me upset. You know, that angle was awesome. So what have people been talking about for a month straight? What have they been talking about, Al John? It's a type of club.
They've been talking about the Bullet Club, Bulletproof Balor Club.
Right, the Balor Club, the Finn Balor, who's never going to freaking come to WWE, it seems like, right? The main roster. So what happens? Gato, the best booker in the world right now. That's just the way it is. Why is he the best booker in the world? Because he lost all of his talent and his show's just as good as it was before. That's when you know you're real good, okay? So what does he do? Oh, man, people think the Bullet Club is Gallows and Anderson and AJ. Oh, man, people think Vince has bought the Bullet Club name. Like, well, I'm going to put the motherfucking Bullet Club on pay-per-view in America on a different promotion. He booked that whole thing because they don't own that name. I don't know how many times I got to say the damn
name. And they're selling Bullet Club merch on the ROH website.
Because they have a working relationship. Okay, so that makes sense.
They've been a relationship.
A good relationship, and it's helped Ring of Honor so much. When you got a guy like Tanahashi come in, and he's fighting, I don't know, I'm just going to name a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, who I heard had a good match with Kushida at the TV taping, by the way. You got a guy like that, and they're like, fuck you, Kyle O'Reilly. Tanahashi's here, man. Look at Tanahashi. Look at his fucking hair, man. Tanahashi's here. Tanahashi's shoulder shirt is working all light as hell. They don't care. They want to see Tanahashi come out because New Japan is the shit. They've brought Ring of Honor up to that level. It's like a guy who's got a friend that's real cool. It's like, oh, I didn't know you were friends with so-and-so. No, okay, I'm going to give you a perfect example. It's like, I didn't know you were friends with Steven. If you're friends with Steven, that means you're fucking cooler than I thought. You know, here's this Screech. You know what I'm saying? Share this with me. Everybody, you have to excuse me. I've been working a lot lately. I'm really tired.
No, I know.
I'm talking a little too normal today. This is actually how I usually talk. My point, I'm not going to get off topic. They booked this great angle. Ring of Honor has the Bullet Club. New members, Adam Cole, Adam Page. Adam Cole, what a terrific choice. Great angle. You know, then you still got the Bullet Club in Japan. You know, same Bullet Club, everybody. It's just some people got to fly in and out. Kenny Omega wasn't there, by the way, because of his visa issues right now. He's got a work visa to go to Japan, and he does not live in the United States. He's from Winnipeg. But you still got shitloads of Bullet Club people because you've added people, and they're in America. In America, making a name for the new members because WWE has pushed the idea down our throats that they have the Bullet Club. So New Japan has the kick-ass real Bullet Club. Ring of Honor has a really cool version of the Bullet Club. It's the same Bullet Club. It's just, you know, more American. And then the WWE, who's getting really the word out with the clickbait, they got something called the Club. I can't believe how they dropped the ball on this shit. My man Gato can't be stopped. He is the mind, all right? That's what I wanted to say.
And fueled by Memphis Wrestling Gato, and I like it. And so, and I agree. I agree with you 100%. But I once again, I'm going to laugh just from our very top of the show talking about how they named it the Club. Yeah, the Club is real. The Club is real. Whatever, you know.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I like about the Club is that it comes with kettle fries.
Isn't the Club you put it on your car? Nobody can steal your car. My wife's so much younger than me, she didn't even know what the hell that meant. She's like, what does that mean?
Club soda?
She's like, I don't know what that means. What the hell are you talking about? You put up what? Yeah, the Club. You want to steal their name so bad that you named it something stupid. Yeah.
I almost feel like they should just call it the Bulletproof Club or something at that point.
Just fucking job everybody out?
they might. Anderson and Gallows is still there. I know. They're starting to.
Anderson and Gallows have done two jobs each. Look it up.
I'll get back. Let's get back on track. But it's very valid points. We're trying to talk about TNA.
Really?
About three recent roster signings. Robbie E of Bromance had re-signed with TNA.
Oh, thank God. I was worried about that one.
I know, me too. Caleb Clonie has signed a deal.
No idea TNA. Who that is. No idea who that is.
And independent women's wrestler Allison Kay has also gone into that. So
good luck. And I heard Alex Riley could potentially end up at TNA. I broke the news.
There you go.
I didn't break it, actually. But no. I mean, you know, he might end up there. They better get some. I don't know what to say about them anymore. They're just driving.
Well, how about this? Stephanie McMahon, as a little shift back to Stephanie really quick. She actually was interviewed by TMZ and was saying, quote, I'm sure we'll see China in the Hall of Fame at some point in the future, Stephanie McMahon says. I'm not sure exactly what year that'll be, but there's no denying her contributions to WWE.
Once she's dead, they control the situation, just like I said. Now she's dead, they control the situation. She should have been in the Hall of Fame. She shouldn't even have cared, honestly. She shouldn't even have cared. She should have just moved on. But when your heart gets broken, you turn crazy. You know, and I think that's what happened to her. See, if I was her, I'd be like, hey, I don't care about the Hall of Fame. Your Hall of Fame isn't real. You know, what constitutes getting into the Hall of Fame? You know, being liked.
Speaking of controversial rumors like TMZ, interesting, the life of WWE superstar Adam Rose.
Oh, boy.
Continues to make headlines as he was released from jail on Thursday afternoon. According to records from the Hillsborough County, Tampa, Florida Sheriff's Office, Adam Rose, known as Ray LaPon, was released at 4:10 after posting bond, which was set at $1,000.
Thank you for pronouncing his name right. Thank you for pronouncing his name correctly. A lot of people don't. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. He appeared in a Florida courtroom on Thursday to review a domestic violence charge from Wednesday morning. The judge considered a restraining order against Rose to have contact with his wife, Cassandra. However, LaPon was given leniency from the judge based on two items. Cassandra asked for LaPon to come home mainly because they have a special needs child who needs her care.
Right.
And the Ray's attorney argued that LaPon grabbing his wife was not aggressive or painful, but rather more of passionate, let's talk about this type of grab. TMZ reported that the judge expressed reluctance to give LaPon leniency, citing a previous domestic violent incident that in March that went public on Thursday. Bail was set for $1,000 for both of the $500 each for the two charges of battery and domestic violence. The judge also required LaPon to seek counseling from his church pastor once a week until a follow-up court hearing happens in June. His life seems to be going out of control.
Nope, I don't think so. Same old LaPon nature. You know, he's not going to be with them much longer. He's got a very emotional relationship with a wife who calls the cops a lot. Okay. And, you know, he's in front of a judge again. And, you know, he's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about him because he's got this special needs child. I believed him when he said about the thing. I heard the story about the domestic violence thing, and I said, well, that's not domestic violence to me. And then they said he was in front of a judge in March, and I'm like, well, shit, motherfucker, you can't stay out of court for more than 2 months? I'm trying to be sympathetic towards you, but part of me thinks that, you know, it's a weird, you know, I don't know. I don't think Michael Jackson was killed by lasers, and I don't think that, and I don't think that Adam Rose was set up by the WWE, but I thought it at first. I'm gonna be honest.
You're starting to feel a little Jesse Ventura here.
But I don't believe it. When they said he was there in March, I'm like, all right, dude, well, I fucking give up on you. I've been here defending your ass. You got a special needs child, a sorry, stupid ESPN special. You know, you wear an eyeliner, which I clearly don't like that shit. You know that, Al John.
Yes.
I still had all this stuff. Yeah, I have a long history with that. And, you know, I really wanted to defend him. And then I hear you're in front of a judge in March. You're pissing me off. Fire the motherfucker. He ain't no good anyway. Fuck him.
Thank you. Lucha Underground continues to have a decline in viewership, Stephen. Why is this the case? May 11th, they drew a combined audience of 177,000 viewers, very close to the 180,000 they had last week. Lucha only drew 96,000 first run viewers, down from 138K last week. However, the replay jumped to 81,000 viewers, nearly doubling the 42K from last week.
Why?
Interesting stuff.
Why are the ratings?
They've lost. Why are the ratings? It's summertime.
Well, because people like wrestling, but sometimes I personally don't care if somebody fly into the air if they're a wrestler, like they're a spaceship. I don't know. There's a very niche audience for this show that fucking love it. And it's like 100,000 people, dude. You know, that's the reality of it. They got Rey Mysterio and you can't get more than 150,000?
Something like that, yeah.
You can't have dragons eating people. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. I'm in a foul mood, but Lucha Underground has every opportunity in the world to be the best TV show, period. And what's the best TV show? Some simple-ass NWA-looking show with basic squash matches, simple shit, new wrestlers, you know, NXT. That show's fucking expensive to make. And if they keep up these ratings, they're going to lose it. That show is very, very expensive. That's why they've already recorded two seasons. They're in the midst of showing the second one, then season three's already been filmed too. You know, we talked a little bit about the spoilers. I won't reveal them again. But, you know, it's like, oh, it's cool. It's supernatural. Dude, I like for wrestling, like, pretend it's real and shit. You know, that's my thing. So maybe that's what it is. They have a core audience that's very minor. It's not a big audience. It has nothing to do with the Latin market. It has nothing to do with the English market or whatever you want to call it. It's just the show itself. It has nothing to do with any of that to me. I mean, obviously, AAA fans will watch it if they're in. But I mean, you know, AAA's AAA, Lucha Underground's Lucha Underground. They're just having trouble. They're not growing at all, you know, and that's a problem. It's the same problem they're having with the network subscriber number. It's not growing enough, and El Rey will eventually back off.
I agree. You know, the thing about that show is I think you're right. I think less is more in that case. And once again, folks, I appreciate you there. The internet feed is kind of suspect for tonight, but we do appreciate it. Stephen, I think it may be time for us to go ahead and maybe wrap some things up before we get into the promo of the week. Did you have any final thoughts? I know you wanted to mention something about some other independent shows or New Japan in particular.
I just wanted to make a very wild sweeping statement. And if the internet cuts up, let me know and I'll restate it because this is important, everybody. I'm no longer a mark for Shinsuke Nakamura. Now I'm a mark for Tetsuya Naito, the IWGP champion. Nakamura has sold out. He sold out to the man to be a star in America. That's fine. But my heart's with New Japan. Naito's the best heel in many years. He's got the best motherfucking outfit coming to the ring with his crazy ass mask on. Los Ingobernables, best faction, best heel in years. Had a 4.5-star match with Ishii. Who the fuck can have a 4.5-star? Nobody thought that he would possibly lose to him, and he still had an awesome 30-some-minute match. That man is huge, and he figured out a way to have a 4.5-star match with him. And he totally, totally has the best heel character I've seen in years. Completely doesn't give a shit. He's like an expert at showing you he doesn't give a shit. I'm telling you, this is the new Nakamura. Nakamura, you broke my fucking heart. But that's okay. You can have matches with Alex Riley and the Drifter, just like, you know, Tyler Breeze does. Good for you.
For the record, Mr. Shinsuke Nakamura, I still love you.
I and love you, Nakamura, another, but I have a new boyfriend. How about that?
Here's something funny about Nakamura. Did you see, of course, we were talking about him versus Alex Riley this week.
Yeah.
He didn't hold back on the theatrics this week. He actually did his, his kind of Nakamura chop down the ramp. He did his little Michael Jackson dances. He did his stretches. He did like the whole nine. And you know how you said that initially when he made his debut in NXT at TakeOver that he was a little reserved. He didn't do all that dancing and stuff that he normally does. Now, this time, I think he did. I think this was closer to the New Japan presentation of Shinsuke Nakamura, wouldn't you say?
When I see stunt bitches, when I see him wearing blouses with Swarovski crystals, yes, we'll be at 100%. He's getting there. I agree with you. I am so excited that he is on American soil doing wrestling matches. You know, I know he loves to be here as he's in the LA dojo. He is getting closer to that character. But Naito's the new one that I love. I broke up with him. Okay. No, he's still the best wrestler in the world. I'm not a fool. I know this didn't change overnight. I'm just, I'm being obnoxious.
No, I like it. I like it. Okay, so from hip hop to New Japan to WWE to Global Force Wrestling and TNA's really interesting signings this week. It has been a chock full week of news and commentary. Moving on to our promo of the week by the man himself, Mr. Macho Man Randy Savage. You want to set this up for us?
When I watch Botchamania, and everyone should watch Botchamania, it's hilarious. I'm sure you do.
Right. I'm subscribed, cool. Yes.
Love it. Can't wait for a new one to come out. They did a WrestleMania edition recently, a Royal Rumble one. And the best part of it, to me always, was they played Macho Man's clip. He goes, "I've been in the danger zone." And it's just so funny, the idea of Randy Savage saying, "I've been in the danger zone." It's like, of course you've been in the danger zone. Of course, it's like saying, "Hello, I'm breathing," right? And this is actually the promo, and I found it, and I've been trying to, but this is actually the promo it comes from. And he goes very deep into what it's like to be in the danger zone. And real quick, Randy Savage lived in the danger zone, but Mean Joe Green said it best. You don't live in the danger zone, you just visit. See, that's what happens sometimes. What a beautiful, intense man.
Our promo of the week, Macho Man Randy Savage. Enjoy this promo and enjoy. Thank you and enjoy Pro Wrestling Cast.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself. Hey, why don't you sit back and enjoy yourself? You know, get out some Kleenex and enjoy yourself. I tell you, thank you so much for enjoying the show. We appreciate you pressing play and checking out ProWrestlingCast.com. All of our links are there for all of our shop links, and we would appreciate if you do so. Amazon, WWE Shop, WWE Network, and High Spots. Mr. Stephen Anthony, where can people find you on the internet?
Dr. Death Mark. Oh, and I did a podcast with Toomey. I totally forgot about that. The Metal Church.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it.
The Metal Church.
Metal Church. I
totally forgot that this whole time. I'm so tired.
Yes, sending us a big shout. I know you're tired. Thank you for spending over time. Once again, find Stephen Anthony as he talks about Metal Church on the Talk To Me podcast this week with Joshua Toomey, our friend, of course, our friend in the WWE Network and a friend of heavy metal. Rock on, because Metal Church is awesome. And Stephen's breakdown of the new Metal Church album is actually really, really great. Very insightful from a hardcore, old school Metal Church fan. So please seek that out there at Talk To Me. Of course, Stephen Anthony, Dr. Death Mark on Twitter. You can find me at Jedi Musketeer on Twitter, and I have general geekiness and radio and all kinds of good stuff that I do, podcasts and such on pop culture. And you can of course follow us at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, and of course ProWrestlingCast.com. Every week we bring you this podcast, and we're going to try to bring you the podcast from here on out every single Friday as long as we can. We do appreciate it. Enjoy the promo of the week with Macho Man, and don't forget to tuck your head. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Los Ingobernables for life.
Nick Bockwinkle in this episode. Hasta la vista.
Promo of the week.
Number one challenger and the former Intercontinental.
Intercontinental Champion, Macho Man Randy Savage, along with his manager, the lovely Elizabeth. You know, Macho Man, in recent weeks you have been living in a whirlwind of threats and conflicts.
I like that, me, Gino. Come in here. You must be psychic. You can see inside the Macho Man's head. I've been in the cyclone. I've been in the danger zone. Yeah, I've been in the danger zone east of the Pacific Ocean, west of London, England, south of Mars, and north of hell. Yeah, 30 days and 30 nights in a row. I've had the nurse which is planning this mount of the South Tower. Yeah! Listen to the glorious and soothing music of the real Elvis Presley, not that dime store imitation Elvis, yeah, that doesn't know the difference between a guitar string and a G string, yeah.
That's funny.
No, that's not funny, yeah. Everybody is super serious in the danger zone. One must only think of the glory of victory, yeah. For Macho Man, this is the danger zone. Elizabeth, we're entering the danger zone right now. Together, we're walking down that aisle. It's cool, yeah. The time is now, Mean Gene Oakland. Macho Madness into the danger zone. Yeah.
All right, I thank you. I have
danger zone, yeah.
Seen a more determined Macho Man, Randy Savage. This is going to be the match of a lifetime. Let's go back to you, Vince.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.